Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Today we're going to talk about the Bible. I'd like to begin by quoting the words of our Lord Jesus in St. John 5, verse 39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. How do we read the Bible? We read the Bible in order to find Jesus. The Bible was written so that we would know Jesus, our Savior. As St. John came near the end of his gospel, he explained why he wrote the gospel. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we read, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." St. Paul wrote to Timothy that he had known the Holy Scriptures from infancy, and they are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. If you're looking for a code of laws, if you're looking for something from which you can derive a constitution to rule over a country, if you're looking for keys to a successful, prosperous, healthy life, you're not going to find that in the Bible without twisting the Bible into what you want it to be. The Bible wasn't written except for this purpose, to lead us to faith in Christ. Everything the Bible says, it says for the purpose of faith in Christ, to know Jesus as your Savior from sin. And if you're reading the Bible not looking for Jesus, you're reading the Bible incorrectly. Years ago, when I was pastor down in Clear Lake, Minnesota, I was visiting with a parishioner who had, before becoming a member of our congregation, belonged to one of the auxiliary organizations of the Masonic Lodge known as Job's Daughters. And she was curious to know why our congregation did not permit membership in the lodge. And I said to her, "Well, what did you do in Job's Daughters?" "Well, we read the book of Job." I said, "That's a good thing to do. Tell me, what does the book of Job tell you about Jesus?" She said, "Nothing." She'd read the book of Job and had learned that it said nothing about Jesus. But it is in the book of Job that we read these beautiful words, "I know that my Redeemer lives." A reference to none other than Jesus. But you see, the Masons had taken Jesus out of the book of Job, rendering it useless. The Bible was written that we would know Jesus, our Savior, and if you do not know the purpose of the Bible, you will not read it with any benefit. Second, the Bible is the Word of God. The Word of the Lord came to is how many of the prophets would begin their books, or different portions of their books. St. Paul told Timothy that the Bible is God-breathed. St. Peter wrote that the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Since the Bible is the Word of God, it says exactly what God wants it to say. Now, the supernatural origin of the biblical text is an extremely important topic, and yet it is one that is often ignored, neglected, because it is almost a scandal, but it is well known that most seminaries, most colleges, most universities where they teach advanced courses in the Scriptures operate under the assumption that the Bible cannot literally be inspired by God, but we must approach it the way we would approach any other book. Well, if the Bible is the Word of God, then everything it says is true. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus, in talking to the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection, said to them, you are in error because you don't know the Bible. The clear conclusion is that if you knew the Bible, you wouldn't be in error. People assume that modern science has disproved the Bible. Many people just operate under the assumption that the Bible contains errors, but they haven't been able to find any. The Bible was written that we may know Jesus, our Savior. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible contains no errors because God Himself cannot err. Fourth, the Bible teaches everything we need to know, so we don't need to add to it or take away from it. Now, if you're trying to run a business, you might want to learn a little bit about running a business. If you want to farm, you might want to learn about farming. You don't go to the Bible to learn how to run a business, how to farm, or how to run a country, for that matter. But if you want to know about God, and if you want to know how you and God can have the kind of relationship that will bring you into eternal bliss, then you want to go to the Bible. There is nothing that you need to know about God and your relationship with God, about right and wrong, about heaven and hell, about sin and grace, law and gospel. There's nothing you need to know that is not written clearly in the Bible itself. You take away the Bible and you take away the Christian religion. The entire Christian religion is contained in the text of the Bible. Now, there's no point in seeking out additional revelations as if God's going to send some prophet. In the book of Hebrews, the author to the epistle to the Hebrews begins by writing, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He has spoken. Everything you need to know has already been written. If you go to the tail end of the book of Revelation, you see St. John, the evangelist, warning people about adding or taking away from this last book of the Bible. We don't look to ecstatic experience. We don't look to holy tradition. We don't look to some new prophet in order to find out what the Bible really means. We look to the Bible and to the Bible alone. So first, the Bible is written that we may know that Jesus is our Savior. Number two, the Bible is the Word of God. Number three, the Bible contains no errors because God cannot err. Number four, the Bible teaches everything we need to know, so we shouldn't add to it or take away from it. Number five, the Bible is a clear book that says what it means and means what it says, so that we ought to take the Bible as it reads and not interpret it to mean anything but what it plainly says. The psalmist writes, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In 2 Peter 1, verse 19, the apostle tells us that the Bible is a light shining in a dark place. There is no hidden code somewhere out there that'll tell you the secret meaning of the Bible. No. This is done. This is imposed on the Bible by people who simply don't want to be bound by what God says. They want to twist the Bible to say what they want it to say. But the clarity of the Bible and the sufficiency of the Bible is fundamental. In this way, we won't be misled by con artists who say, well, I have an insight here that has somehow escaped Christians for the past 2,000 years. No. The Bible is a clear book. It says what it means, and it means what it says. And yet there is a key to understanding the Bible, not a key that you find someplace else and then impose it on the text, but there's a key that the Bible itself presents before us. St. John explains this as he, in his prologue, is talking about Moses and Jesus. He says in John 1, verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The key to understanding the Bible is to distinguish between the law and the gospel. The law shows us our sin. As St. Paul writes, "By the law is the knowledge of sin." The gospel shows us our Savior. As St. Paul writes, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the law shows us our sin, and the gospel shows us our Savior. The law is to be obeyed. "Do this and you will live," the law says. The gospel is to be believed. As St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." The law is to be preached to the impenitent sinners, that is, those who are not sorry for their sins need to hear God's law that threatens to punish them for their sins. The gospel is to be preached to the penitent sinners, those whose hearts are broken on account of the wrong they've done, who feel their guilt and who want forgiveness from God. The law threatens to punish those who disobey. As the apostle explains the law in Galatians 3, verse 10, we read, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So the law threatens to punish those who disobey. The gospel, on the other hand, doesn't threaten to punish anybody, but it promises eternal life to all who believe. As Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So the law condemns us, but the gospel gives us forgiveness of sins and saves us. The law is to be preached in order to lead people to lose trust in themselves, and then the gospel is to be preached in order to lead people to trust in Jesus, the only true Savior. As we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 37, St. Peter said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brothers, what shall we do?" So the law showed them that they were lost. And then Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the gospel, baptism for the remission of sins, gives you Christ, gives you him to trust in. When you read the Bible as a sinner looking for a Savior. And God will bless your reading of it. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We invite you to attend one of the congregations of our parish Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. Sunday morning, 10:15, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Sunday morning, 11:45, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.